Go ahead. Let me see what you have. There it is. How's everybody? All right. Are we on? Is it on, Lady Kim?
I'm getting ready to see.
Are we live? That's what we want to know.
Or is it Memorex?
Right. Or is it Memorex on this Memorial Day? We have a lot to be thankful for, and we're grateful for those who have gone before us. And really, Memorial Day, Lady Kim, is about those who have served and those who lost their lives. And so it's a time for people to reflect and to remember. And so we remember those who really gave their all. And it's a time where we don't just eat and fellowship and, you know, barbecue and all of that, but it's a time that we seriously reflect on those who lost their lives in war and who was sacrificing themselves for the good of the nation. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And so we're excited about this day, and we praise God for each of you. Even as we are coming on, we won't be on long tonight. Lady Kim is making sure that everything is set up. How is the signal? Somebody let us know if the signal is good and that you all can hear us. And we won't be on very long. We're going to be on about 30 minutes tonight. We know many of you are out and about and doing what you normally do. But we praise God for another day. And so it gives us reason to rejoice and be glad in it. And so for those who are going to watch this particular Bible study, this virtual Bible study live, and those who will hear it later, we thank you for your participation and your support. And we thank God for how he's continuing to keep us in this season. Wouldn't you agree with me, Lady Kim?
Yes.
All right. So somebody let us know if the video and the sound is good as we prepare to move into this Bible study tonight, Monday manna. Lady Kim calls it Monday manna. We're going to eat a little bread tonight, and the word ought to be what? It ought to be like
food for our souls.
Food for our souls. That's it. And I know many of you have already been around the grill, or some might be still out getting that dinner together. But we're going to serve up a delicious meal here tonight in this 50th chapter of Genesis. And believe it or not, we're coming to the close of this study. I hate to see this study come to a close, but we're going to go ahead and close it out and prepare to move forward. But I hope that we've learned some valuable lessons from this study in Genesis. And we're going to prepare for a word of prayer. And then we'll have Lady Kim to just kind of give us a recap of what happened on yesterday. And then we'll talk a little bit about this 50th chapter. I kind of set it up yesterday in my sermon.
Yeah.
And so we'll just kind of reflect on that, and then we'll let you go back to what you've been doing today. And it's a beautiful day outside, and I know many have been out and about and just kind of making their rounds, but we praise God for each of you. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this study tonight. God, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence.
Yes, God.
We thank you for being God all by yourself.
Yeah, Lord.
We pray now, dear Lord, that you might meet us at the point of our needs and show yourself strong on our behalf, and that as we study your word, it might indeed be a lamp unto our feet.
Yes,
and a light unto our pathway. We need that light. We need direction. We need this word tonight, God,
yes,
to strengthen Lord. Us and strength encourage us for this journey. So, God, we pray a special blessing upon each who will view this particular virtual Bible study.
Yes.
And we ask that you would just meet every need, and that you will make a way for somebody, that you will answer somebody's prayer.
Yes.
Because we believe that you're well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. So we decree that and we declare it. We speak it into the atmosphere. and we claim it done even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God.
Amen.
All right, Lady Kim, how is things going? How you feel today?
Pretty good.
Do you?
Yeah, been relaxing a little bit today.
Okay. Yeah,
just a little bit, though.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, you keep me busy.
I keep you busy doing house chores and cleaning and cooking and all like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But
it's all good.
It's all good. That's mm-hmm. right. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday, because yesterday was our first time back for in-person worship.
Yes.
In over a year.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes. We had a wonderful time.
A wonderful time.
And
I tell you.
I was so glad to see people. You know, didn't see all of their faces mm-hmm. because of the mask.
Right.
But it was
right.
good to see our members return back to in-person worship. I wish I could have. I was just tempted to grab them and hug them.
I know, right?
Just hold on for a few minutes, but I restrained myself. So,
all right,
yeah.
All right.
But it was good to see everybody, and such a wonderful, warm service. It was.
It mm-hmm. was a beautiful service yesterday, and we were almost near capacity for what we had set up for. I think we had 50% capacity yesterday, and there
yes.
were only a few chairs that were not occupied,
mm-hmm.
and the people seemed to be excited. People were in place. The volunteers, they have been working diligently to make this happen, and the music was on point. Everybody was in place.
Yes.
We had a little technical difficulties, but through it all, God got the glory.
Yes,
didn't he do it?
God always gets the glory.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday.
Well, your sermon came from where we're going to be at tonight in the book of Genesis,
okay.
the 50th chapter, and it came from verses 15 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of it was From a Bitter to Better,
mm-hmm.
From Bad to Good,
right.
and From Good to Great, from Bad to Best, and
okay.
From Good to Great.
That's a mouthful right there.
Yes,
it
is. It's
got a lot
of
mouthful.
A lot of twists and turns.
That's right. Say that again.
Bitter to Better,
mm-hmm.
From Bad to Best,
okay.
and From Good to Great.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was when Joseph saw his, when Joseph's brothers realized that their father had died, you know, they were afraid that Joseph would hate them because of how they had treated him
okay.
when he was a young boy.
Okay.
You know, they threw him in a pit, then they sold him into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were fearful. But he reassured them, saying that, you know, he wasn't God and that he wasn't going to treat them like that.
Okay.
And so they were able to rejoice. He told them, don't be afraid. So, and then you told the story, you went back and recounted really almost the whole story of Joseph.
Right.
And how he was his father's favorite child,
mm-hmm.
and how he received a coat of many colors,
mm-hmm.
and his brothers were jealous of him for a couple of reasons, because he was of the favorite son.
Right.
And then also because he had a gift.
That's right.
A gift of dreams, of seeing visions and dream and having dreams. And so his brothers were jealous because of that. And then, you know, because of their jealousy, again, like I stated before, they sold him into slavery. But not only was he sold into slavery, he ended up in Potiphar's house.
Right.
And he became the second in charge in Potiphar's house. But before he became second in charge in Potiphar's house, he went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a servant in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife accused him of raping her, and Potiphar was angry and put him into prison. So he went from the pit to being enslaved, and now he is in prison. But he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker while he was in prison, and he asked them to remember him when they were released from prison. And years later, one of them remembered him, that he could interpret dreams when Potiphar wanted his dream interpreted.
So
he was able to interpret it, that it, there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of lack. And so the Potiphar said, well, you know, I'm going to need somebody to be over this massive effort.
That's right. That's right.
And Joseph said, Joseph told him, you need somebody to, you know, manage. He said, well, who better to manage it but you?
Than you. You've already shared the plan, and you have seemed like a strategic plan in place, mm-hmm. a business plan to help make this happen. And so who else would be better to navigate them through this process than him?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. You were on the roll there. I was just trying to jump in and throw that little two or three pennies in there.
I was just about to end. So I guess from there, you know, that's when Joseph's brothers came to him because in those years of lack.
Okay.
To
they didn't
get
even
food.
Recognize
they
him.
They didn't recognize him. Yes.
But he knew who they were, didn't he?
Yes, he knew who they were. But he played a few games with them for
That's
a while,
right.
and then he finally revealed himself to let them know that he was their brother that they had sold into slavery.
Okay.
And so this is where we come to the ending, and where you preached about yesterday.
Okay.
When Joseph, you know, when his father died.
Okay.
When Jacob finally passed away, and he buried him. His father asked to be taken back to the land of Canaan to be buried, and they buried him. Now Joseph's brothers become afraid. Now we're getting into tonight's Bible study.
Right, that's good.
But yeah, you talked about, you know, how you go from from bitter to better, you know, and then from bad to best, from bitter to better, from bad to best, and then from good to great.
So do you think Joseph was bitter in the beginning about what had happened to him and how his brothers misused him?
I guess your human feelings kick in. I would say he was bitter about it at first. But then he knew that God's hand was on him. Mm-hmm. And so I guess he got over it. But he seemed, the Bible really doesn't say whether he was angry or not.
Too much about his feelings.
No, it doesn't go into Joseph's feelings at all. But I'm sure, you know, I would have been upset.
You know, and that's where I was going, because even though it happened to Joseph in one way, it happens to us as well. And many times people will allow their feelings to overwhelm them when someone misuses or abuses them, particularly like this situation with sibling rivalry and how it was somebody that was close to you, somebody that you know, somebody that you thought loved you and you loved them, and then they turn on you because of envy and jealousy, and they do almost what could be called as the last straw, where they at first wanted to kill him, you know, and then they wanted to throw him into a pit, and then the other brother decided, no, let's just sell him into slavery and get some money out of this deal. And so even though the Bible doesn't go into any detail about Joseph's feelings, it's obvious that he was feeling some kind of way, because even when they came to him, and he recognized them, but they did not recognize him. He played little games with them, you know, and he was messing with their emotions and trying to get them to see, get them to realize what they had done, I guess. I don't know the exact, but like you said, we have to just kind of allow our sanctified imagination to really kind of lead us through that whole process, okay?
And I don't think he was too angry with them, because, you know, when he first saw them, you know, sometimes when you first see a person after something a significant happens, a significant event, those ill feelings, you kind of well up in you.
Okay.
You know, and you get angry and you get mad, but it doesn't seem like those feelings came to Joseph, because when they came to him for food, he gave them food.
Right.
You know, he provided food for them, and then he put the money back that they had given him back in their sack,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them to take back with them. You know, it's difficult to say how Joseph felt because it does not say, but you know, on that human side, you could say he was upset and angry, but after a while, you learn to get past it.
Yeah, and that's the spiritual application for us today. If that's where I was going with that, because even though we don't know how he felt, we know how we might have felt in a situation like that. And a lot of people are going through those kind of emotions today. And the key is that you can move from a bitter situation to a better situation if you but yet yield to God and trust God to see you through, because he was at a place where it looked like it wasn't going to work out in his favor. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was going to be the end for him. But God, mm-hmm. God allowed him to use that as a stepping stone to the destiny that he had in store for it.
Absolutely.
And so the same is true with us. We don't know what kind of situation you might be faced with or what kind of circumstance you might be up against, whether you are dealing with some animosity and you're holding some ill will against someone who has hurt you. But we got to learn how to release that and not be bitter, because bitterness never releases us to our blessing.
Amen.
And we have to be clear on that, because the bit more you stay in that frame of mind, the enemy will continue to play games and tricks on you to the point where it never releases you to be better and to receive the ultimate blessing that God has for you.
Amen. Okay? And your first point was, don't let your context change your character.
That's right. That's
so
right.
That's, you know, don't let what you're going through change who you are.
Right.
Don't
right.
let what you're going through give you a sour attitude, mm-hmm. or a mean spirit or a negative attitude.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, don't let it change you, because it's so, we can become so easily discouraged.
That's right. That's
and
right.
have a bad attitude and say, well, you know, this happened, so I'm just going to be mad at everybody.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And we end up missing out on what God ultimately has for us. As you were talking, Lady Kim, I was thinking about how this could very well have been a test for Joseph to see if he was really ready to receive the ultimate prize that God had in store for him. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes even in our own lives, we flunk and we fail at the place where God is trying to test us. The Bible says it's the trying of our faith that worketh patience. But it goes on, James, to say, let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So even though we don't see in that passage that there are some things that we have to go through, there are some things we have to endure in order to get to that place where God wants to release us so that we can really enjoy what he has in store for us in the end.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you got a chance to get to your other points on yesterday.
I didn't. Most of my time we took up just being excited about seeing the people and celebrating the fact that we were back after 14 months. And however the Lord leads this Sunday, if that's a part two, I know I got a couple of part twos hanging out there on the line. I didn't finish a couple of sermons, but it's always good to leave something, you know, and not have everything, and you can always come back to it later. But what was the second point in that particular lesson that we shared yesterday that I didn't get to?
Don't let what happened hinder you from helping.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what was the last point, the third?
Don't let your problems cause a perplexity about God's presence.
Okay, that was powerful. So I might have to go back and revisit that, Lady Kim. Anything you want to share about that? Because he didn't, in the second point, what does it say?
Don't let what happened hinder you from helping.
Okay, so he didn't allow what happened to him to hinder him from helping his brothers.
Right.
He could have very easily had a negative approach and a mean attitude and been mean as a rattlesnake and just lashed out at his brothers. And he had the power and the capacity to put them in prison, to take their lives, to take away all of their
possessions
and everything mm-hmm. else. But Joseph is a model for us in terms of how we need to release that thing to God. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and I will repay. And so oftentimes we get in the position where we want to get ahead of God, and we want to say, God, you move back now. I got it from here.
Right.
I know exactly how to handle this situation. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves in a worse situation than we were that when we started out. Would
that's
you agree?
Right. That's right. And we should never be vengeful mm-hmm. or take revenge. We should always step back and remember, God, I know you have it under control.
Okay.
And that, you know, everything works for the good,
mm-hmm.
for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So there's no need to be vengeful or try to get revenge for something that someone has done, because God already has their reward.
Wow.
You know, the Bible also says, whatsoever we soweth, that shall we also
That's
reap.
Good. That's
so
good.
If someone sows negative and corrupt seeds towards us, we're not to sow those back, because guess mm-hmm. what? They're going to reap some negativity and some corruption down the road.
That's
and
right.
And if we sow it back towards them, guess what? We're going to reap that too.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to sow is love and forgiveness and, you know, keep our integrity and our character, because through it all, Joseph kept his integrity. He mm-hmm. kept his character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph and mm-hmm. said, lie with me, he kept his composure, he kept his character, so much so that he ran out of his coat.
That's right.
Trying to get away from her. That's some integrity, that's some character right there for a man with a beautiful woman and a woman of high power to present herself to him in such a way, you know. And he ran out of his coat. He said, absolutely not. I will not do this to the person who has put me in the position that I'm in.
That's right.
So
that's
keeping
right.
your integrity and your honor when you're in a place, a position, and not trying to get revenge when negative things happen
Okay. And that goes both ways. And you nailed it right on the head, because women can find themselves in the same kind of predicament where they are tempted and they are tested to do something that would not be beneficial to what the end result will be. Particularly, and this is not just for believers, but for everybody, when you are trying to do what's right in God's sight and then you do what's wrong, many times it's harder for a person to stay the course than it is for them sometimes to fall back into what they are familiar with or what they're used to. And it reduces the opportunities for us to move forward and receive the ultimate reward that God has for us.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so people are tempted and tried and tested every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much sexual temptation. It can be of an immoral situation on your job, or something where somebody asks you to do something that you know is not right,
mm-hmm.
or somebody asks you to deal with some money or some situation like that, or even if you find somebody else's money, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes people will think that that's a blessing that God has given them, mm-hmm. and they won't even try to pursue, you know, whose money that is, not knowing that sometimes people are in dire straits. And if it's when you lose money, it's especially when you really need it and you're trying to deal with some, you know, situations in your life, that really sets you back,
mm-hmm.
you know. But mm-hmm. for somebody to show up and have the kind of integrity and want to release that and give them their money back, that says a whole lot about that individual. Wouldn't you agree? Have you ever had
yes.
that happen to you before, Lady Kim?
Where
you found some money?
I don't remember finding money. No, that's
okay.
never happened to me.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. Just why don't we do this? We're not going to be on long tonight. We just wanted to stop by. We want to keep the consistency in terms of the study. And we're going to start a whole new study on next week. But we wanted to just kind of... after I started on that sermon, I said, well, this is going to pretty much recap for what we're going to do tonight.
Right.
But we're in the 50th chapter of Genesis. Why don't you just read for us the little update there, Lady Kim, and then we'll stop and just kind of talk about a few of those things, and then we'll move forward from there.
Okay. You know, the 50th chapter, the overarching theme is new relationship among brothers. There's a new relationship. Now, this chapter is composed of two stories, mm-hmm. okay? The first story is about the funeral and the burial of Jacob.
Okay.
At the end of chapter 49, Jacob asked all his sons and Joseph to bury him in the land of promise and not in Egypt. By tradition, Joseph conducts the burial rites. Though the burial rites, embalming and the mourning of the Egyptian people, they appear to mark Jacob as an Egyptian. And Joseph asked permission of Pharaoh to take the body back to its final resting place in Canaan, mm-hmm. where they, including the Egyptians, mourn over Jacob there too. Jacob chose instead to be buried in the land God promised to his ancestors. Who were his ancestors? Abraham and Isaac. Even in death, Jacob believed in the promise of God that his family would be blessed by God with land, offsprings, and blessings, making his burial an act of witness to God's promises. The second story is about the final healing of the relationship between Joseph and his brothers, who were jealous of Joseph because he was their favorite and who sold him into slavery. Although the first reunion was not truly successful, the final reunion was one of forgiveness and reconciliation. Joseph had the brothers and their father move to Egypt, yet the brothers worried that Joseph would take revenge on them because of the kind of people that the brothers were. They created a plan to cause Joseph to feel guilty, thus forgiving him. Mm-hmm. The plan was to tell Joseph that their father Jacob's last wish list, his last wish was that he wanted Joseph to forgive them.
Right.
When Joseph weeps at this story, the brothers begin to weep as well and fall down before Joseph, acknowledging that they are his slaves, his servants. Thus he can do with them what he chooses. Joseph knows that the promise of God makes his family certain that they have a special destiny. Joseph offers forgiveness. His response to it all is that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Mm-hmm. In the end of the story, Joseph requests, like his father, that he not be buried in Egypt, and he wanted his bones to go back to Canaan.
Wow. Well, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's a whole lot going on there, because the brothers are really, they're really suspect. They don't know how, in this part of the feeling, they don't know how Joseph is going to respond, nor do they know what he's going to do, since he's in such a powerful position.
Right.
And so, as you indicated earlier, Joseph took the high road, you know, and he was already clear in his mind and in his direction in terms of what God had said to him. He was not trying to put himself in a position of being God in that situation, but he yielded to God and allowed God to direct him as he did what was right and pleasing in God's eyesight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like the part, and many of us look for that particular verse. You hear it a lot, where man might intend it for evil, but God can turn it around
for my good.
And so it was, even with Joseph, where even though his brothers, they schemed and they connived, they were desperate in terms of their attempt to try to get revenge because of the way they were and how they felt about him. It was obvious, because they were jealous. Mm-hmm. They were envious. And they knew that that was their father's favorite. Mm-hmm. And that coat really probably just set it off for them. And Joseph could have had a little strut and a little he could have had a little swag going on himself in front of them. But Joseph, not only did he have God's his father's blessing, or his father's favor, he also had God's favor. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so God had a plan for this young man. And just like he had a plan for Joseph, guess what?
He has a plan for us too.
He has a plan for us too.
Yes.
And so we have to believe, just like Joseph did, even though it looks like things are falling apart, even though it looks like the end is nigh us, we have to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Because God can come in the ninth hour. He can come at the last minute,
yes,
and deliver us, and he will prove us and let us know that what we have done, as you talked about that passage in Romans, all things indeed work together for good, not just something, but all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so many times we have to go through some things in order to get to the place that God has for us. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, this is really kind of bringing us to a close. We just want to come on for a few minutes. I've already been outside. I don't normally have a hay fever or anything like that, but I was out. Lady Kim had me out cooking all morning, and so I just made it in just to eat and get ready for Bible study. But I was out on the grill today and got a little, I guess I got a little head cold, but we're going to get through that too. Because this weather is so crazy, isn't it?
Real, real weird.
Yeah.
Freezing cold Saturday, and today it's warmed up some, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Broke a record Saturday.
Was it?
For the coldest warmth on record.
Wow.
The coldest day for this time of year.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 61 degrees Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Lady Kim, tell us what would be a handle for us to take away from this particular chapter, because we kind of said that already, but it might be something else that we can add to it in terms of how Joseph dealt with his brothers and how God dealt with Joseph and how we need to respond in not so much similar situations, but when we find ourselves in situations where people misusing and abusing us, and how should we respond? What should be a takeaway from this for us?
Well, you know, God is a promise keeper,
okay,
and his promises are found throughout his word. And just like you know, the God kept his promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, mm-hmm, that their seed would number so many that they could not count.
Right.
God has promises for us too.
Wow.
In his word. So God is a promise bearer, you know. And then there's good triumphing over evil.
Okay.
Good is always going to come out on top.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting,
mm-hmm,
God's hidden work. Mm-hmm. God is always working out something on our behalf. So never give up, even when something evil, we think something evil befalls us. God is in control, and we have to remember that. And he's leading us into a new life, or to a new beginning.
A new beginning. That's good. That's good. I was thinking, as you were reflecting, because when people are in the heat of the moment, when they are going through a difficult time, it's hard for them to see what God is doing in that situation. We have to trust the promise even when we don't have the possession, or even when we don't have what we've been asking God to do in our situations. And many times when people go through difficult times in their lives, they want to go ahead and try to take care of it and handle it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But this story tells us and reminds us of the importance of trusting God even in those difficult times, in those times where it's dark and when it's difficult for us to see what God is doing. And many times we think God is getting ready to do something to somebody else on our behalf. But a lot of times God is getting us ready to handle the situation that he has in store for us.
All right.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But as we said earlier, for those of you who are on, we're getting ready to go. We just wanted to stop by and just say a word and just recap this 50th chapter tonight. And I hope that someone has received something here in this study of the book of Genesis that will help you to understand what God's plan for your life, because Genesis really unlocks the rest of the Bible, and it gives us clarity in terms of understanding what happens after we get out of the book of Genesis. But the tone is set, the promises are there, and we are beneficiaries of that same promise.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add, Lady Kim?
No, you.
You covered it?
I covered it.
I recapped it. I got it. Okay. What do we anticipate? What should we expect for this Sunday and going forward in terms of our in-person worship?
Don't forget to register online for in-person worship. That lets us, you know approximately how many people are going to be there so we can prepare adequately. Face coverings are required. And so we hope you will join us for in-person worship. Mm-hmm. If you can't, we will still be streaming live. Now, we had a few technical difficulties on Sunday with Facebook, and we came on late, but it did pop up. If you ever cannot get on Facebook Live, always go to the streaming side, to our ATOP website, and click on Watch Live. And you can always see our services that way. It's a different streaming platform. So make sure you tune in on Sunday mornings if you cannot be there in person. The sign-up link is on your screen right now. So you can click on that sign-up link to sign up for in-person worship on this Sunday. And we hope to see you on Sunday. Leaders, we will have leadership meeting this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. So we're looking forward to our leaders, ministers, spiritual officers on this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. And then young people, the virtual escape room is going to take place on Saturday, June the 13th at 2 o'clock p.m. It's $10, and that's for three people on a screen. So that's a bargain right there. Three people on the screen to go through the virtual escape room, and it's $10. And so if you're interested, Sister Erin Jethro is collecting the $10 following service on this coming Sunday. Sunday is the last day to pay for the virtual escape room. So we look forward to you guys joining the virtual escape room. Okay.
All right. And we do have a special birthday this coming Sunday as well. Is that right, Lady Kim?
I think so.
Yeah. And we're going to be celebrating Lady Kim's birthday. And a birthday is actually on the 8th, but Sunday is the 6th. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so we're going to have you can bring an expression of appreciation with a card, or however you want to do it, with a note, or if you want to put some cash in it, however you want to do that, then Lady Kim, I'm sure, will be grateful for whichever form that comes in. And then we will have a drive by for those who were not able to make the service, and we will be outside in the front after service on this Sunday celebrating the birthday girl, and just letting people have an opportunity to show their, give their expressions of appreciation to the First Lady.
Thank you.
All right. Happy birthday to you. Me.
We can say that.
All right. Say all that right. For Sunday. I got to practice, right?
Get with Elder Paxton.
Yeah, I got to practice.
Yeah.
All of the information is there in terms of you signing up for this Sunday's worship. I've already signed up, Lady Kim.
Did you sign me up too?
No, I just did one person. I already signed up. Miss Darren, if she's on, she could check and see. My name is all right. I was a click.
Okay.
I'm good to go for this Sunday.
Yeah. All right.
So you got to sign up every Sunday. And as the CD CDC gives more clearance in terms of reducing some of the restrictions, then we will follow those guidelines. But we're at 50% now, and we had a great crowd on this Sunday, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do even this coming Sunday. This past Sunday had a great crowd. Looking forward to what happens this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we're excited about seeing people, and we're excited about you coming and back into the building as we move through this first phase of in-person worship, and we move to the next phase and continue to go through. And hopefully everyone will follow the guidelines, and we will do temperature checks as well. And the building is being sprayed. When you're not there, we spray it down twice a week. Twice every week to make sure that everything is in place for Sunday. All right. Well, Lady Kim, I believe that's about it. Did you have any prayer requests, any praise reports? We're getting ready to close out. We said we want you to get back out there and enjoy the rest of this day and spend some time with your family. And I think the Grizzlies are coming on tonight too, aren't they?
Yes, at 8:30.
8:30?
Yeah, all right. A couple of more hours.
My team lost the other night, but
my team lost the other night too. But they're gonna win tonight. Right, Grizz? Go Grizz.
That's right. We'll be watching, but you know, I'm pulling for the Grizz, but when they play in my team, I mean, it's no doubt who I'm pulling for. So we hope that they win tonight, and I hope that it's a Lakers and a Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals to decide who's going to go to the NBA Finals.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
And I hope the Grizz win. Grizzlies going to sweep it, y'all. Let's go, Grizz.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Let's lift up in our prayers.
You hadn't been that excited all night, Lady Kim.
All right. Lift up prayers for our sick and shut in. I see Brother Daryl is on there. Hey, Brother Daryl.
I didn't get a chance to speak to Daryl on Sunday.
To speak to Sister Deborah or Brother Daryl, but I saw you from afar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, glad to see you on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're still lifting you up in prayer, Brother Daryl. And then lift up in prayers Sister Daphne Robinson, of course, in the loss of her father, and Dr. Cynthia Calhoun in the loss of her stepmother. Prayers for those families, as well as the rest of our sick and shut-ins. Also, Sister Kelly Calhoun Seeley is on our sick and shut-in list. So please lift her up in your prayers also.
Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you do the honors of closing us out with a word of prayer tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And even as Lady Kim is doing that, we hope that you will stay safe and that you will continue to pray God's covering over yourself and over your house, over the ATOP Church family, and over the leadership. Pray for Lady Kim and I in your special prayers, that God will continue to sustain us in this season as well.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this time that we have shared together. We ask, oh God, that as we continue to go forth, that your presence will ever reside in our hearts and in our minds, so that when we do feel some kind of way in a situation, we will know that vengeance is yours and not ours, and that our blessings will come as a result of maintaining our character and our integrity.
Yes,
no matter what happens in our lives. We thank you for a great example in Joseph and the story of Joseph. And we thank you, oh God, that we know your promises are throughout your word, and that if we only trust and lean and depend on you, everything, every situation, every circumstance will work out okay. We love you, we bless you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we hope y'all have a fantastic rest of the day and be encouraged and continue to believe that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. Can I remind somebody tonight as we close that there is no secret to what God can do, what he's done for others? Guess what? You got it. You got it in your spirit. He'll do it for you. All right. Well, y'all have a fantastic evening. Be blessed. Until next time.
Bye.